Hello and welcome to Moaz. We're talking about raising awareness in this episode and the kinds of people and organisations spreading the message about migration. But what does it mean to raise awareness about migrants and refugees? How do you advocate? And who do you encourage to make change happen? Hopefully Amnesty International can explain. Maria Serrano is senior campaigner for Amnesty International, an organisation with a record of advocating for human rights. Research, advocacy, and campaigning are its key principles.
Well, basically, Amnesty's work is based on several pillars. Like, we do research because human rights change starts with the facts. So we have researchers that travel across Europe, across the world, and do, you know, research, undertake research. So they collect the facts. They collect the facts into the human rights violations by governments and, for example, corporations. And we use also technology to support our research. So, for example, satellite imagery. We want to, you know, demonstrate that something is happening, for example, in a certain village. We use digital techniques to verify videos. And we also involve people in, you know, doing this research as well with us. Sometimes we use participatory approaches. So research is one of the key elements of the work we do, but we do research for action, which means that we use our research to advocate for change, to influence and press governments, companies, and decision makers, because we want them to do the right thing. So our research usually includes recommendations for governments, for corporations, for non-state actors like militias, for example. Plus, the third pillar of our work is that we do campaigns and action. So we mobilize our supporters, we try to mobilize the public opinion, we offer people an opportunity to be part of the change we want to see through petitions, letters, protests. We press for action to the targets, to the people and institutions that can make change happen. And usually across research, advocacy and campaigns, we use individual cases. We campaign for individuals, for example, to release people from jail when they have been unfairly treated or they are, for example, in prison because of their opinions. We use human rights education to raise awareness. And we do a lot of media because we also use the media as a tool to press governments. So basically, we use research, advocacy and campaigns to raise awareness and to develop campaigns for change.
Once a report is published, how do you keep up its reach and pressure?
Reports are not isolated pieces, so they are usually tools of broader campaign strategies. So it's not, when we publish a report, it's not the end of the issue. It's basically just a tool for us to campaign and to try to produce change. So what we do normally is we design campaign strategies. And we first identify the change we want to see and how we can contribute to that change. What is Amnesty added role, or how can Amnesty contribute to a broader change? So sometimes this involves sustained and closed doors advocacy efforts, sometimes massive public campaigns or press releases, stunts in particular moments where, you know, there is a decision that needs to be done, for example, by European leaders. Or we can, you know, as part of a campaign strategy, we can try to engage people on an emblematic case that represents the issue we want to tackle. We can, for example, invite people to support the individual through solidarity letters. But it really depends on the issue. To bring up a recent example, and that is related to our work on search and rescue in the Central Mediterranean, which we started working on this issue, search and rescue in the Central Med, in 2013, before the end of the Operation Mare Nostrum, which was an Italian operation dedicated to search and rescue. And we, at that time, we already warned governments that the end of the operation would lead to massive loss of life. So, you know, in that context, we decided to produce a report that was the starting point of our long-term work. And we, for years, we have continued producing research reports. In 2015, after mass mobilization by our membership in April, after the two big shipwrecks in the Central Med, European leaders decided to increase search and rescue vessels. So we saw that we were making some change. Unfortunately, the change didn't last, but we try to work with strategies that we adapt because, of course, like the world changes. So, you know, since then, we have continued working on search and rescue, expanding the research. And in 2017, we produced a big report on European policies that are strengthening the capacity of the Libyan Coast Guard to intercept people and take them back to Libya. So our research changes and adapts to the evolving circumstances. But I have all other examples that shows how we engage on an issue. We produce research in different years, and we engage in sustained advocacy efforts. One of these examples is the EU-Turkey deal. Amnesty International was very vocal when the deal was about to be adopted. And the EU-Turkey deal basically establishes that every migrant arriving irregularly on the Greek islands has to be returned to Turkey on the basis that Turkey is considered a safe for refugees. So at that moment, Amnesty had a research on the asylum system in Turkey, so we could prove that actually Turkey was not safe. We could also publish how Turkey's authorities were returning, for example, Afghans and Syrians to their countries of origin. So they were basically returning people to war zones. Of course, the EU-Turkey deal was adopted, but part of our research has been useful for lawyers that are trying to stop this kind of returns, illegal returns from Greece to Turkey under the basis that Turkey is safe. So we develop different strategies, or we use different tactics depending on the issue and depending on the change we want to see.
What kinds of challenges do you face investigating and advocating for human rights causes?
Well, there are several challenges. One of the main ones, when we look at, for example, European policies on migration, is that Europe is externalizing, outsourcing border control. And this means that we also need to do research in countries like Libya or Sudan. So sometimes we face a real challenge when we cannot access those countries. For example, we haven't been able to access Libya, so we rely on our partners, on, you know, reliable partners that we have on the ground, and we are asking the Libyan authorities to allow us access. There are other kind of challenges. For example, when we are doing advocacy as well, there is a growing hostility by European governments. In the past, when we produced research or we published our findings, European governments felt compelled to do something, like they felt ashamed. But there is no shame anymore, or at least we are facing the facts, and the exposure of the human rights violations is not enough anymore. So this is a real challenge when we are advocating for human rights. Another challenge for us is that because we work on very structural issues like migration policies, sometimes for us it's really difficult to at least provide assistance or to make some change in individuals. So we cannot, for example, provide assistance to all individuals that we interview, but normally we refer them to organizations. So we try to, you know, we have a very strong commitment for ethical research and to at least try to find solutions for those individuals that engage with Amnesty, although sometimes we cannot do this directly. Another challenge is when we campaign or advocate for human rights, sometimes there are issues that public opinion is tired of. Like with the migration issue, we can identify that there is a certain fatigue. So we try to find innovative ways to engage with people as well. But of course, this is also like we need to rethink constantly what we do. We need to strike the right balance between the human rights violations and when we communicate, offering people hope and a way to change the situation, because there is no shame in governments nowadays, or it seems that they are advocating solutions that are not real solutions for people. And basically, some governments are bragging about very cruel policies. It's very difficult for us to try to put out our facts, but at the same time, we also need to offer people hope and a way to change the situation. So our work needs to strike the right balance between naming and shaming and offering people an alternative to engage and to be part of the solution.
In what ways does your research directly impact or contribute to the development of responses to crises or human rights violations?
We work globally. So, for example, when there is a crisis, we put different situations in the spotlight through timely research, putting out the findings very quickly. For example, when there is a UN debate or resolution, and this is something that we have done with the crisis in Myanmar and the Rohingya, with Sudan, or when there is a conflict, Yemen, Syria, we have tried to do that. This is the kind of crisis response. Sometimes when very prominent journalists are detained, we launch appeals for their release. So that's another way in which our work can have an impact. But in the field of migration, the long-term impact that we want to see is more difficult to achieve, and we need to be very, very honest. However, there are moments in which we can capitalize the outrage. So there is a long-term work that Amnesty is doing, for example, regarding the migration policies of the Trump administration. But then when there is the separation of families is in the spotlight, Amnesty can capitalize on that because we have like the long-term work and we engage our members to change the situation. So that's one of the examples. Another example is in relation to the EU-Turkey deal, is that, of course, we haven't seen the transformative impact that we want to see. The situation in the Greek islands is appalling. However, we have to acknowledge that because we engage on this issue on the Greek islands and the EU-Turkey deal very soon, we oppose the EU-Turkey deal, we could mitigate a little bit the damage. Like, the EU-Turkey deal was going to lead to mass detention and mass deportation. But we are mitigating the worst effect of Europe migration policies. Our research also contribute to the highlight the political crisis in a very small scale. We have examples of camps in Greece where conditions were, in particular, one of the camps we work on a long-term basis was an old airport terminal in Athens. It was called Helleniko Camp, where Afghan women were suffering for more than 1 year, violence and all kind of terrible abuses. So we campaigned for the closure of the camp. And nowadays, we are still in touch with some of the Afghan women that were transferred to better accommodations. I want to mention as well the litigation work that we do. Sometimes our research may not produce the immediate impact that we expect, but it's used for litigation cases before the European Court of Human Rights. So, for example, several years ago, in 2013, Amnesty also produced third-party intervention to the European Court of Human Rights in one of the landmark cases where the court ruled against Italy and banned pushbacks in international waters because Italy was pushing boats back to Libya. And basically, it was a very important ruling because nowadays we are still using this ruling because this ruling states that states have extraterritorial obligations and they have obligations to respect and fulfill international law even in international waters. And we are seeing right now, like, for example, when we published our report on search and rescue last week, that a merchant vessel with an Italian flag push people back to Libya, and this is illegal. So we see how our work on litigation can also be used and be a tool for advocacy and campaign.
Research and advocacy for human rights seem to have a very select audience. How then do you engage wider audiences in your work?
One of the things that we have learned in the past years is that we need to reach the wider public. We need hope-based communication. It cannot be everything about shaming and blaming. It cannot be about fear. So first thing, we need to analyze what is your audience. The general public cannot be the audience. You need to segment that audience. So you need to identify the part of the population that would be open. They are uncertain about what we think about an issue, but you can move them, you can swing them to your side, but you need to move them to your side using a different approach. So through individual stories, individual cases, and showing the story of change. Like, it's very important that we, when we engage with the people, we tell them how they can be part of a better society. But for that, you need audience analysis, you need to frame your message as well. Another thing that we do is that we don't engage with people that are spreading hatred on social media, because there is no way in which we can win them over. So we try to frame the conversation in a way that is positive for human beings. So that's one of the key things that we are trying to do more and more. And another element is the language. We use a different language when we try to engage with people, including our reports, the hard data, the facts. But to engage with people, you need to adapt the language, and you need to adapt the language to your audience. So if you are targeting young segment of the population, probably you need to use a lot of emojis, because that's how people communicate. You need to produce audiovisuals that are compelling, that are short. So that's some of the things that we do. But I want to emphasize in particular that it's very important that everything that we do online is accompanied as well by a more community-based approach, because what is important as well is that the migration debate is not an isolated debate. Like, we are seeing in different countries that people feel scared and they feel isolated. So in our activism, we are trying to build welcoming communities. And welcoming communities means communities that are open, that are diverse, where people help each other. And we are advocating for community-based solutions, like community sponsorship, like allowing communities to actually welcome and receive refugees.
So raising awareness about migration through research and report writing, it's more than that. Part of it is about getting the public to engage with the issues and giving them the means to be part of the solution, and also about holding governments to account. Amnesty's recent reports have poured scorn on government failings to address the migrant crisis in the Mediterranean. But as Serrano points out, in order to raise awareness about continuing issues, you need to fight the fatigue through rethinking your approach. If you like this podcast, don't forget to hit like, comment, and subscribe for more podcasts from us. You can also follow us on our social media. Check out our latest updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Audioboom. Or you can donate to help us help Rohingya refugees. From all of us here at MOAS, goodbye.